apparently you need your back for literally everything.
Having to twist to hand the ball off, having to toss a ball, having to throw the ball.
He actually called me at like 10:50 last night.
I did.
I'm like, dude, is everything okay?
Simple conversation.
No, I'm just checking in on you. I'm like, all right, that's fun.
Doing everything I can to get as close to 100%.
I feel very optimistic because of how he's going about it.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. And a beautiful night it is going to be in Cincinnati as we have a massive Thursday night football matchup between the Bengals and the Dolphins. It's the beginning of week four. That stadium is going to be rocking. The white helmets will be out in full force. We cannot wait for that. And we're going to have plenty on that game throughout the show as we say hello and welcome into NFL Live. I am Field Yates. I got Dan Orlovsky bobbing his head right here with Keyshawn Johnson. You also see Mina Kimes and Marcus Spears from home. We'll have Adam Schefter joining us in just a little bit. But as Bill Belichick once famously said, we're on to Cincinnati. As in the game between the Bengals and the Dolphins, as the Dolphins enter tonight's game as one of the last two undefeated teams in the NFL this season, Miami seeking a 4-0 start for the first time since 1995. As for the Bengals, the revamped offensive line has, well, not been so revamped. They've allowed 15 sacks already. That's tied for the most in the NFL this season. The question mark on Miami's side is the player you saw at the beginning of this show, Tua Tagovailoa, listed as questionable with back and ankle injuries. And for more on that exact topic, let's get our guy, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL insider here from Cincinnati, on the road tonight for the game. And Jeremy, we're about 4 hours or so from kickoff. Do you think we should expect Tua on the field tonight for the Dolphins?
Yeah, Field, I'm hearing that Tua is expected to play, barring an unforeseen development. Things are trending upward. He's feeling a little bit better. And I spoke to wide receiver Jalen Waddle, who told me that his quarterback is tough and that he would be very surprised if Tua is not on the field. I'm also told that Tua's family is here in attendance in Cincinnati. So a good sign. Also good with Jalen Waddle. He told me that he expects to play. So unless the Dolphins hold him back, he's going to try to get in this end zone behind me. And when it comes to the Bengals, the message in the meeting rooms is simple. Limit explosive plays. I talked to linebacker Logan Wilson. He said, look, we know Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are going to try to get isolated one-on-one matchups, get deep on us. So we have to, you know, show the illusion of some double coverage at times, but we have to fly 11 people to the ball. And the Bengals, I'm told, in their meeting rooms have spent really the last 2 weeks trying to get right after that 0-2 start, trying to, quote, be back to who we are, as a team source told me, getting takeaways on defense, controlling the tempo on offense. They feel like they've done a bad job of that so far.
Jeremy, if you like football, there's no better place to be than Cincinnati tonight. We appreciate you. Enjoy the game, my friend. All right, so no team has used a higher rate of motion than the Dolphins this season. How about this? 78% of their offensive plays. That's 8% higher than the next closest team, the 49ers, where head coach Mike McDaniel was coaching previously, of course, under the tutelage of Kyle Shanahan. Tonight, they play a Bengals defense that has faced motion plenty this season. They played well against it. They've actually allowed the fourth fewest yards per play. So, Dan, let's get to the whiteboard here, the X's and the O's. How is it that Mike McDaniel is using motion to his offensive advantage?
Yeah, he forces multiple guys on defense to have a bunch of different keys that they have to pay attention to. I really believe that tonight the linebackers for Cincinnati just got to play quiet, with a quiet mind, the way they're seeing things. So you get this speed jet motion from Tyreek Hill, and as your backers are moving, that's something in their vision, right? And I want you to pay attention to where they are when this ball gets snapped about the 28-yard line. Tackle reach, slice backside, and ball fake. Everything that they're looking at, that's three or four different things that they are now paying attention to. And in play action world, I'm trying to get you to step up and horizontally. Remember, the ball gets snapped when they're at the 28. Tua's throwing the ball when those linebackers are about at the 30 now. They're only 2 yards of depth because of them having to see that speed motion, the slice backside, play side tackle steps, and ball fake. You know, in play action pass, I try to get you to go vertical or horizontal. Mike McDaniel forces defensive guys almost to do both, and that's how he creates those chunks. They have not done that a ton this year yet, but I would imagine short week, quarterback hasn't practiced a ton. These are reps that he knows, doesn't necessarily need to know the coverage. That is a massive key for tonight's game.
I think when you look at motioning guys across, the first thing it does is it also helps the quarterback, but it also helps the receivers significantly, because now I know if it's man-to-man or if it's zone. Yep. I know if I have to clear it out, if I'm the primary receiver, depending on what the coverage is. So if I motion across and I got somebody going with me, I know, okay, most likely 90-some percent is man-to-man. Sure. If that person passes me off, it's probably zone. Right. And it helps identify what they're doing in the secondary. The first thing you're taught as a receiver is look and locate the safeties. Mm. The first thing the quarterback is taught, locate the linebackers and then to the safeties, and that will tell you what everything is, what everything in front of you is going to do.
Did you ever motion like that where, when you know, I mean, that clip that I showed, Tyreek is full speed when the ball is getting snapped. You guys never did anything like
that. You know, I hate that you said this, Dan, because we absolutely. I feel like we started that.
Okay, like Tyreek, full speed. This ball is going to get
full
snapped.
Speed.
These backers are watching that motion like he has mentioned. This ball, he's full speed already.
Full speed.
You guys can do that.
Yeah, and I've jumped off sides three or four times.
Did you like that, though? Like, did you like having that?
I did if it was timed right.
Look at everything that this defense has got to look at.
If it's not timed right, you can lean forward because remember, my back is turned to you. And I don't necessarily hear the snap count. I'm looking at whoever's outside of me, whether or not he moves.
That's a 22-yard chunk. And how easy is the operation for the quarterback in that regard?
Well, you got to be a well-conditioned team. We saw this past Sunday. The Bills were gassed because they played 90-plus offensive snaps. Hard to do that with healthy motion involved as well. Let's get Marcus and Mina involved here. And Marcus, if that is the challenge that the Miami offense poses specific to that motion, what's the game plan for the defense got to be for Cincinnati tonight?
Line of scrimmage, you have to win. And Trey Hendrickson did a phenomenal job last week to the tune of 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles as well. And when you get to Tua, you can't get the ball out. You want to make him move off the spot. To Dan's point, with all of those things going on, the way you remedy that or try to defend against that is to make the quarterback drop his eyes. Mike McDaniel has also done a good job of giving Tua one read and then if get off of it, and the second one is wide open, obviously because of the talent. If I'm Cincinnati, the pressure is on those linebackers like Dan illustrated. Gaither, the inside linebacker, had, I believe, 13 tackles, 9 and 4 assists. Von Bell is going to be huge. But anytime you're talking about a prolific offense, you have to get the quarterback to either move off of his spot or question where he's going to go with the ball. And that's the job of the front.
Yeah, and Marcus, what you're describing is actually what the Patriots had a lot of success doing against Miami in week one. The other thing they did that I think might be relevant for tonight is they played a lot of three safety looks, that 3-3-5 package that they favor, because they have very good safeties. Well, so does Cincinnati. We actually haven't seen much of their first-round draft pick, Daxton Hill, but I'll be curious to see tonight if they actually might work him more into the rotation so that Von Bell, who's so good as the wild card blitzing the robber, they can use him in different ways rather than just having both their safeties sit back in coverage. Daxton Hill gives them a weapon that they haven't really used thus far this season.
Man, I can't wait for this one. What a great Thursday night football tilt we have between two teams that are trying to prove themselves to remain atop that AFC hierarchy. More from Mina and Marcus in just a minute. But let's get Adam Schefter in here for some injury updates around the NFL. And Schefty, what do we need to know, starting with Jameis Winston as he gets ready for a potential appearance in London on Sunday against the Vikings?
Well, Phil, for a second straight day, Jameis Winston did not practice. Now, last week he didn't practice on Wednesday, but he was a limited participant on Thursday. Today, no practice again. That would tell you that it's trending to have Andy Dalton start at quarterback on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings in London, with Jameis nursing a variety of ailments. He is beaten up right now. And so is the Patriots quarterback, Mac Jones. Now, Dr. Bill Belichick has said that he is day-to-day, one day at a time. But the fact of the matter is, he does have a severely high ankle sprain right now that he's nursing. He's been going through drills here, or at least team meetings. We'll see whether he's able to go. I still am dubious that he will be able to play on Sunday. And also, for a second straight day, no Christian McCaffrey due to a quad injury that he's been nursing. He's had rest days on Wednesday throughout the season, but yesterday he was held out for that quad injury, held out again today. We should learn more on Friday as to his injury status and whether he should be able to play on Sunday. And the Browns defensive end Myles Garrett, whose car was involved in an accident earlier this week when it flipped over a few times, was back in the Browns building today. Did not practice, maybe a sign of his availability for Sunday, but the fact that he's doing better is encouraging. And he is back in the building, and he was speeding, according to police, when his car did flip over. But fortunately, he was able to escape without major injury. And Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back, who missed his first practice ever yesterday. Always practiced in high school in New Jersey, college at Wisconsin, and the pros with the Colts. Missed practice yesterday for the first time, but was back at practice in full today with that toe injury. So Jonathan Taylor on track to play Sunday against the Tennessee Titans.
That is an amazing fact right there. He is the Herm Edwards of NFL running backs there, Shefty. He had never missed a practice at the high school or college or pro level until Wednesday. Good to have him back on the field today. We got plenty more coming here on NFL Live as Josh Allen and the Bills try to avoid consecutive losses when they go to Baltimore to face the Ravens. But there's an eye-opening trend in Buffalo that might worry Bills Mafia. And one quarterback has made a huge leap in the first month of the season. But will that continue? Dan will take a closer look at this signal caller that is jumping off the tape. That's next.
Ooh, I like that.
NFL Live is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're watching NFL Live, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. And we've got a big game tonight. So you know what? Let's get a FanDuel same game parlay from our guy, Dan Orlovsky. Let's go through it, Dan.
Come on.
Over under 250 passing yards for Tua tonight.
I'm going to say over. Some big plays by those two receivers. I'll say over 250.
Okay. Over under eight receptions, 80 receiving yards for Ja'Marr Chase tonight.
Over. He might get that on one play. I really believe Miami's going to play man coverage and pressure him. Okay. There's going to be plays to be made down the field.
We getting a tutty tonight for Tyreek Hill?
He's playing, so okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna when in doubt, Dan is always betting on a Tyreek Hill touchdown.
You've
heard
the answer,
our picks.
Bub.
Now you can use those or make your own to build a same game parlay with FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. All right, time now for some read and react, and we start in Jacksonville. You know, it's been three games, but no quarterback has made a larger jump in total QBR from last season to this year than Trevor Lawrence. His QBR has increased by 32 points, which currently has him ranked 7th in total QBR this season. Dan, what's the reason for the year-over-year growth from Trevor Lawrence?
The handcuffs are off,
okay.
And you're watching the talent overcome the shortcomings. There's a giant amount of freedom. Last week, 2.4 seconds per pass attempt. So when plays need to be made, he feels the freedom to do it. Watch Zay Jones in the slot out of empty right here.
Okay.
Baby face. He's going to catch the snap 1-2-3. I want to throw front side. Nothing's there. So I'll reset towards the middle of the field. But internal pressure. Watch the sudden bang away.
Yes.
Now he's going to throw this ball from about the 22. There's a little bit of a window in the end zone. Last year, Trevor Lawrence kind of felt restricted to try to go make that play. This year, he's got the freedom to kind of believe that he's capable of making that play. RPOs, spread out screens, getting the ball out in bootlegs are helping him believe that, all right, so when the moment's needed to be, my talent can shine,
yeah.
I'm ready to go make those plays.
Back-to-back wins by 20-plus points for Jackson.
Real.
The first time since 2000 they've done that. All right, so Aaron Rodgers hasn't exactly been airing it out this season. He's actually averaging just 5.2 air yards per pass attempt. That's dead last in the NFL. Is that going to continue going forward?
Until they change things, right? I mean,
how
look
so?
At it.
Yeah.
The yak yards are extremely important for this Green Bay Packer team.
Yeah.
These young wide receivers being able to pick them up and put them down with the football in their hands. You go back to week one against the Minnesota Vikings, they were dropping the bombs.
Mm.
So they said, hey, let's pull this back until they grow a little bit and understand. We'll do slip screens. We'll do slants. We'll put the football in their hands and allow them to get the yak.
Yeah, the receivers are doing the work right now. They actually lead the NFL in yards after the catch. Next up, better days are upon us in Dallas. The Cowboys, all the talking about the quarterback situation, but it feels like the defense is really the job, is getting the job done. 5 sacks and 7 tackles for loss in Monday night's win over the New York Giants. Swagoo, how is that defense getting this done in such dominant fashion?
Yeah, you got to ask yourself, babyface, is it a fluke? And the answer is no. This rush package that they have, the pressure that Dan Quinn brings at opportunistic times, but DeMarcus Lawrence up front, Dorrance Armstrong, all of these guys are reading and playing off of each other, and they have a safety by the name of Donovan Wilson is going crazy. Trayvon Diggs is taking his opportunities. They had one interception go through his hands and obviously got the one at the end of the game. This pass rush is freeing up guys on the back end to take chances and try to make plays because quarterbacks are not having time to make decisions and go through the necessary rips to figure out who the ball is going to. Dallas defense is for real, man.
It looks like a bunch of young Marcus Spears up front across that defensive line. Oh, come on now, Dan. You take that back right now.
A lot better.
Hey, coming up next, speaking about Cowboys, the Dan Wagon is back. We'll find out who gets to join the Dan Wagon for week 4. He's been on a roll, Dano.
They've been hot. Previous winners, Samuel Swift.
No pressure.
I got a little clue. Eric Church. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh.
That's all I'm saying.
Eric Church.
We can go on there.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Thursday. That means we have an edition of the Dan Wagon. All aboard. Curtis Samuel, DeAndre Swift, pretty good so far.
Look at the graphics.
Who's getting on the board? Who's getting on the wagon this week? Are we in Charlotte? Queen City?
How did you know?
Well, because they just showed the Queen City Stadium.
I wasn't looking at the graphic. This is the first time ever. I'm hoping my boy at home is watching. So I watch every single snap of this every week. And I just see what pops on tape. Okay. And for the first time ever, I have to talk about a defensive player.
What?
Or defensive lineman. We're going to Carolina.
Are you okay?
I did a little bit of tape on last week. Derrick Brown, defensive tackle number 95. He is starting to become one of those top 5 defensive tackles in all of football. When he's on the field, the Panthers allow 3.6 yards per rush. That's 132 plays. When he's off the field, they allow 5.4 yards per rush. That's a difference of almost 2 yards. Babyface. He's top 5 in run stop win rate. He's got 23 run stops, which is tied for 4th in the NFL with Jeffrey Simmons. He's also got like 4 pass breakups, so he's a PBU specialist. Man, look, I knew the big fella would love it.
This is like Derrick
Brown
Bryan
starting
right
to
now.
Be a big time interior force for the Panthers defense. I did this for you, big guy. I did this for you, man.
D.O. Legit. The highlight next week was going to be Derrick Brown, bro. I'm glad you put him on the Dan Wagon. He balling out of his mind.
Now we get like Dan this week we set him up. Next week you get to kind of give him even more love. If they win.
Yes,
ooh, no
they got to win.
Now you got to win.
They got to win.
Okay, well, now you have the pressure on Derrick Brown, but at least he got the shine as well. The former 8th overall pick has been a beast. Time now for us to go on trend. I'll present a stat. One of our analysts will tell you if it's a trend that will continue. And this season, A.J. Brown has recorded 14 of his 20 receptions between the numbers. That's tied with Cooper Kupp for the second most between numbers in the NFL this season. Mina, do you expect to see A.J. Brown continue to make his living between the numbers?
I do, and as an Eagles fan, you should be loving it. Look, because Jalen Hurts is such a threat with his legs, there are always going to be throwing windows over the middle of the field. He did not attack that part of the field last year, but he is this year due to the arrival of one Arthur Juan Brown, a.k.a. Swole Batman. That is where he lives. We saw that in Tennessee on those deep digs and crossers. And the fact that Jalen is willing to throw to A.J. over the middle of the field is a trend that is going to continue and is going to serve this offense well.
On to New York, where Zach Wilson has been medically cleared to start for the Jets. In Wilson's absence, Joe Flacco has thrown 155 passing attempts. That's 14 more than any other quarterback in the NFL this season. Key, does that trend continue with Zach Wilson taking over?
I'm so silly, I don't mean to laugh, but yes, it does, because Joe Flacco has these type of numbers because they've been losing football games. And when you look at that, you have to get back in, but you got to throw the football, and they'll be losing continuously. And Zach Wilson will have the opportunity to put some numbers up, but I don't care about that.
Sure.
All I care about is him getting better. Yeah. Are we going to watch him get better?
We'll find out, right?
He got pressure on him this week.
A lot of pressure, man.
Let's go, man.
Let's go to Buffalo, where the Bills have lost 7 straight one-score games dating back to last season. That's the longest active streak in the NFL, including the playoffs. Key, I'll start with you. What do those numbers tell you about how the Bills are closing or not closing games?
You know, Phil, I look at this and I say to myself, 4-minute offense is important to me.
Okay.
That's how you close out games, right? Whether you're down or you're ahead, you hold on to the ball as much as you can until the point that you need to score points. Sure. And I think when you go back and you look at some of those games, yeah, you can go to the Tennessee game and he didn't get in. He slipped on the sneak. You can add that one in there. But when you look at some of the other games, you say to yourself, if they ran the 4-minute offense and they had proficiency at doing it, and effective at doing it, they don't give the ball back to the other team. It's almost like the Ravens against Miami.
Right.
If the Ravens get 2 first downs, game's over.
Game's over.
They didn't do it.
Mm.
4-minute offense did not work.
Sure. Got to close out. What do you think, Dan?
All right, so I understand that this is like a convenient thing to look at, because I'm sitting here, and you know me, I always try to figure out why. Like, why are these things happening? I wrote down, it's hard for me to pinpoint. I don't know why that's happening, but I can say this. And I know it's a little bit inconvenient coming off of last week, but we did the Monday Night Football game, Lewis and I and Ruddy and Steve Levy. And one of the things we asked Brandon Bean, their general manager, was, what was the number one thing, focus point this offseason? He said, we've got to get Patrick Mahomes on the ground. He felt, and this is what I loved. He said, when you get in the playoffs, your last game exposes your weakness.
Mm.
And he believed that Von Miller was that missing piece. I remember Marcus dubbed Von Miller the closer, you know? And while that stat covers over a period of time, and again, last week they didn't get it done, I believe that this Buffalo Bills team addressed that number one flaw that they felt was they got to close out those close games. And that's why they went and got their big fish, so to speak, in Von Miller.
True on the defensive side, though, because when you look at teams, you look at the Rams, their closer is Aaron Donald. He gets there, closes out his
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Okay. For more perspective on it, what do you think, Mina?
I think that the why is that there is no why. Every single one of these games, a different thing happened. Of course, most recently, the litany of injuries, the Heat. And I'll say this. If I'm a Bills fan and I hear that stat, I'm actually happy, because the one thing we know, dating back years and years, looking at records of teams that lose in one-score games, is their luck turns. It is actually a very predictive variable for success in the future. So the fact that the Bills have gotten unlucky in these games recently suggests that they're going to be luckier, that luck is going to turn at some point, because they're not losing in a dominant fashion.
You know, Mina, to your point, no team was better in one-score games last year than the Las Vegas Raiders, right? And what's happened to them out of the gate? 0-3. I don't know if they're a decidedly better or worse team than last year, but everything they could have gone right did go right last year, right?
Well, that's why she's one of the best people in the world at what she does, because I would have sat there and been like, there's no way that makes sense, right?
Yeah,
you know, fact that she points that out is one of the reasons why, again, that she's so great. Because here's the thing. Do you believe that you've got the playmaker at quarterback that can go get that done? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got the playmaker at wide receiver? Absolutely. Do you have the defense that is capable of getting off the field?
Sure.
And that's the one question that I would have said, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
But that's where I can sit here unequivocally, and I give Brandon Bean, the general manager of Buffalo, credit for sitting there saying, because he even said a couple years ago we tried to go get him, we couldn't.
Yeah.
And he realized, like, that was the big kind of difference maker. And Vaughn has spoken outspoken about how he even infused that into Aaron Donald a little bit more. Like, hey, man, there's moments that you got to go end the football game.
Right.
And we saw that even more so from Aaron Donald last season.
I speak more to the offensive side in this situation?
You're thinking like philosophically.
Yeah, when you have the ball in a 4-minute situation, You methodically move down the field. You take your time. You don't leave time on the clock. If you need to kick a field goal, you kick your field goal. If you need to get first downs, you get first downs to close it out. But like Dan is saying, on the defensive side, they need a Rottweiler to go get that guy. And they went and got Von Miller. So when you look at the great pass rushers on teams, what always happens? They get a sack, strip, fumble at the end of a game, something along those lines.
I think you can sort of look at two streaks the Bills have going on right now. The one that we've been discussing, Mina, about their bad luck in close games, and the fact that if you go look at their last 20 wins, they're all by 10 points or more. This strikes me as a team that is just simply dominant with vulnerabilities because football is an unpredictable game.
A much more meaningful statistic for the Bills, I agree.
Yeah, this is a team that at their very best seems like one of the very strongest in the NFL, even after losing this past Sunday. We've got news here on NFL Live. And how about this? This comes from our Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens for us here at ESPN. He says, Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley said there's a chance he could make his 2022 debut against the Bills on Sunday. Quote, you might see me this week. Stanley said that will be some big news right there for the Ravens offensive line. Let's get to some top stories. We go back to the matchup between the Dolphins and the Bengals as we have Shefty back on board. And Shefty, too, has been listed as questionable all week. What do you know about his status for tonight?
He's been expected to play all along field with the back and the ankle injuries that have slowed him down and wound up having him listed on the injury report. Was not on the concussion protocol list this week, was down due to the back and ankle, but it is not serious enough to hold him out of tonight's game and prevent him from playing. He is expected to start, as is the Bengals running back Joe Mixon, who had been limited in practice earlier in the week, whatever that means on a short week of practice, but he's off the injury report tonight, and Joe Mixon is a go for the Thursday night matchup in Cincinnati between the Bengals and the Dolphins. Joe Mixon been productive this season and will look to continue that tonight against the Miami Dolphins.
You know, Shefty, I don't know whether it involves any players in the game tonight, but I have very reliable sources tell me that you are in the midst of trying to swing a trade
on
NFL Live in our fantasy football NFL War Room League with another person on the show, Mina Kimes. Yeah. What more can you tell us?
Mina turned down my offer. I turned down her offer. I don't know if there's any kind of meeting ground in between, but if we can get a fancy football trade done in the middle of NFL Live and make the show even that much more productive, then that would be awesome.
Okay. Well, Shefty, you're welcome to trade me your best player. No big deal. Mina, you as well.
Can we get a trade update? Like, what was the offer? I want to know.
I
have Craig Reynolds. He has DeAndre Swift, so he wanted to play Craig Reynolds, the Lions backup running back this week. But I asked for Romeo Doubs. He said no. I might ask for George Pickens next. We'll see.
Wow. All right. So updates here on NFL Live and the latest on this massive potential trade. Hey, coming up here on NFL Live, that Tampa Bay offense has gotten off to a slow start. Dan and Mina don't like what they see.
I can solve it.
Oh, okay.
Well, no.
They'll explain why this Bucs offense needs to change its identity quickly. You're watching NFL Live, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
I'd rather have Brady in right now.
If you want to manage your personnel like a pro, check out the AI-powered Player Insights with Watson in the ESPN Fantasy app. With boom and bust projections, performance trends, and player comparison. Player Insights with Watson, only in the ESPN Fantasy app. Our Week 4 Monday Night Football matchup is an NFC West rivalry game between the Rams and the 49ers. A rematch of last season's Championship game, 8 Eastern, on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. And did you hear? Peyton and Eli, they're back on ESPN2. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. And a reminder, the Sunday NFL Countdown crew has you covered for Week 4, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 Pacific. And the Monday Night Countdown crew gets you set for 49ers-Rams, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Both are on ESPN and the app. We continue to keep all those impacted by Hurricane Ian in our thoughts, understanding that football is certainly far from the most important matter anywhere these days, especially in the state of Florida. The NFL has, however, kept in touch with the Buccaneers about the viability of playing Sunday's game at home at Raymond James Stadium as scheduled against the Chiefs. And for more on that game, let's get back to Shefty. What do we know about the possibility of that game being played in Tampa as opposed to Minneapolis?
Well, it is going to happen, Field. The NFL made it official today. It's going to keep the game in place in Tampa on Sunday night. And earlier in the day today, the mayor of Tampa, Jane Castor, was lobbying the NFL to see if it could keep the game there, saying that the city wanted the game and that the Bucs were prepared to go out and do you know what to the Kansas City Chiefs. That came from the mayor of Tampa. But the NFL made the decision. It felt like it wasn't going to be diverting enough resources away from the city, and it felt like the game could be played. It was always going to stay on Sunday night, despite some questions about whether it could be shifted to Monday night. But the NFL made the decision not to move it to Minneapolis, to leave it in Tampa. And so we will have Tom Brady squaring off versus Patrick Mahomes in Tampa on Sunday night, as scheduled.
Yeah, Shefty, thank you so much for that. And again, there are things much more important than football taking place down in Florida, and we continue to send our best to everybody who has been impacted by this very scary situation. Yeah. In the NFL world, we do know that Chiefs and Bucks is an important game. It's one of those you mark your calendars for. So let's take a stab at sort of diving into it on the field here with Dan Amina. And Dan, the Bucks offense put up just 12 points this past Sunday.
Yeah.
What needs to change there?
They have to become the Tennessee Titans.
And more.
Well, they got to become play-action pass dominant.
Mm.
Right now, they're 25th in the league when it comes to usage of play-action pass. This is something Mina and I have talked about for Tampa Bay for what feels like 3 years from right now. But two specific reasons why, babyface. Number one, they need to. Because of the injuries to their offensive line and the lack of perimeter weapons because of, again, injuries, it'll help cover up that offensive line that's still young and unproven and starting to gel a little bit, and also help some of those receivers that maybe aren't those marquee name guys create some separation down the field. You can hold it a little bit longer. I firmly believe this. There's a difference between identity and philosophy.
Okay.
Their identity in Tampa Bay does not have to change. It is Tom Brady, dominant defense. The philosophy of how they play has to change given the construct of their offensive roster.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I'd like to see them using more play action. I'd also like to see them discontinue running the ball so much on first down.
Yeah.
And for people who are wondering if those things are inconsistent, they're not. Statistics have shown you do not have to run the ball on first down to set up the play action pass. And above that, or beyond it rather, the Bucs are really bad at it. So far this season, they're running on first down at a much higher rate than they have in the past. And when they do that, they average negative 0.06 expected points added per play. When they pass on first down, it's 0.17. People might point to the lack of wide receivers. Obviously, they've had some injuries, but ultimately they do pass. And when they do pass, they're behind the eight ball because they run so badly on first down. So that's something I'd like to see in this one, just to set up Tom Brady for more success and not put him, you know, in a disadvantageous situation on later downs.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You guys have heard me say this before. First down, second down, first down. And kind of taking out the option of getting to third down and three or third down and four. Tom's always been one of the great play-action passing quarterbacks in the league with the ball handling that he has to do. And I want to make it clear for everybody, I'm not talking that you become the 49ers or the Cleveland Browns. They are a team that utilizes bootlegs where the quarterback is getting outside of the pocket. There's a difference between bootleg and play action. Play action very much so still keeps Tom set up inside, and it keeps him protected really on the internal part of that pass rush. I just believe it's the best way for their offense to go forward.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe things gel a lot more with all the receivers getting back on the field together and the offensive line potentially getting Donovan Smith back on Sunday night against the Chiefs. Let's move forward in our latest edition of Football is Unpredictable, because right now there's one team, just one, that is 0-3 in the entire NFL. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. And we get some quick reads on this team because Swagoo, this team's been big all offseason. They were expected to be a playoff contender. Why has the offense looked so bad so far in Las Vegas?
Babyface, it's a number of issues. Josh McDaniels has to figure out how to use this talent. And one specific guy that I'm talking about is Hunter Renfrow. It seems to be that he's turned into this slip screen, 2 to 3 yard, air yard catch type guy, when we know how dynamic he is from the slot. Derek Carr is off. Guys are dropping the football. It just looks unattached. Everything looks difficult in what they're doing right now.
You know, Swagoo, I don't know what it is, but do we really think Josh McDaniels is a good football coach as far as a head coach goes? I know his tenure in Denver did not go so well, to the point where he's starting to trend even on social media right now about his behavior and the way he treated players in Denver. So I don't know. You look at that Belichick tree, guys that were there before that went on to become head coaches, and even some front office executives didn't really necessarily have such success when they left Belichick in New England. Are we getting ready to see that again with the Raiders and Josh McDaniels? You mentioned some of the things he's doing with the offense and Renfrow and those sort of individuals, I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think unfairly.
And
it's still early, but, you know, hey, man, it is what it is.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point because we saw Derek Carr under an interim head coach take this team to the playoffs and have a high-powered offense and able to make plays and look synergistic. And I know that when you are running a different offense, which Josh McDaniels, I'm sure, is bringing his nuance, is everybody has to do a little bit of catching up. But from what you just said, football's simple, man. You got one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. You got one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. And you got one of the most dynamic athletic tight ends in the NFL. You got to use them and figure out how to use them to be explosive offensively. Don't tell me about Derek Carr not being a good quarterback. Derek Carr plays at a high enough level for this team to have success offensively, and they're not. So I'm pointing to the head coach as well as you are, Keith.
Yeah, I just, you know, I look at some of the players that they brought in. You know, they're not contributing to what they thought they would be able to do. I don't know. And I really want to find out. And by week eight, if you ask me that same question in week 8, I'll give you a definitive answer for sure.
Well, let me tell you this. If they go to 0-4 this Sunday but losing to the Broncos in a division game, whoo, boy, are things going to be hot in the desert in Las Vegas. Time now for new on NFL Live. It's just minutes ago, our own Lindsay Theory, who covers both the Chargers and the Rams for us, tweeted the following. Justin Herbert is throwing at practice today. The Chargers are altering his practice week routine in an attempt to help his rib injury heal. Herbert did not throw yesterday during individual drills. I got to tell you, it was still tough to watch him this past Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hey, still to come, Miami loves to send pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So how will Joe Burrow and the Bengals offensive line fare tonight? We'll break that down and make our game picks next on NFL Live. NFL Live is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. You may remember the Bengals spent huge this offseason to try to reduce the number of sacks Joe Burrow would take. So far, not so good, as Burrow, again, has been sacked 15 times. It's tied for the most in the NFL through 3 weeks of this young NFL season. And tonight's matchup between the Dolphins and Bengals looks to feature a significant mismatch in the trenches. The Dolphins rank 3rd amongst teams in pass rush win rate right now, while the Bengals, unsurprisingly, rank 29th in pass block win rate. A big factor in this game could be how quickly Joe Burrow gets the ball out. This season, he's averaging the 8th fastest time to throw in the NFL. We need to get our guy Swagoo in here. And Swagoo, how much of those numbers impact the game tonight?
Yeah, look, babyface, the truth is you would love to be able to rush Joe Burrow at 4 and dedicate coverage because of those weapons that you have, but they're going to have to try to generate some pressure and get him off of his spots and hope that those guys on the back end can hold it down just long enough. I think the Dolphins are sitting on 6 sacks right now. Josh Boyer has to do a better job, or this defensive line has to do a better job of generating that type of rush. Pass rush win rate sometimes can be a little bit deceiving when it comes to actually getting quarterbacks on the ground. Now, they got to that a little bit against the Bills. They were able to get Josh Allen running around, putting his eyes down and moving around. But this rush is what's going to have to take care of the Cincinnati Bengals. And if there was any time to get it going, it's this week. Mm. It's tonight. It's this game. So I look forward to seeing them not have to dial up so much pressure, even though I believe they should. This front four is going to have to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Joe Burrow is the least blitzed quarterback in football this year for a reason. We saw him dice up the blitz last year. Defensive coordinators around the league saw that. So they said, hey, we're not going to do that. We're just going to send 4, play cover 2, and force him to work underneath. And the Bengals have not been successful at that, or they haven't been able to run defenses out of those looks. So I think for Miami, as Marcus said, the key is getting pressure with 4, being disciplined on the back end, and not giving up any explosive plays, as other defenses have had success doing the same this year.
All right, so that's the Miami side, Cincinnati side, in terms of their offensive woes. Let's dive a little bit deeper on that Miami defense. Dan, I'll start with you here. How do they make it difficult on opposing offenses?
like, they force you to have 5 one-on-one winners. You know, when they put their 5 guys up at the line of scrimmage, they're really just trying to get you to declare, hey, 5 offensive linemen, you got to go win one-on-ones. And that's very challenging because they just need one guy. I mean, last week they got their 5 guys at the line of scrimmage. Buffalo matches 5-on-5. The backs would have the internal guys. I don't need all 5 guys to win. Only 4 are rushing. I just need one of them to win. Ingram does. And then you got to really do everything you can to get the 3rd and 2 or 3 because here comes these all-out pressures. Everybody's up at the line of scrimmage. Now, naturally, as a quarterback, you're like, I got to drift away. Back's got to see so many different moving parts. He's late to pick off the edge. See where he started on the hash? He's 2 or 3 yards from where he caught that snap because of the drift. Here comes that similar situation, right? Here comes the all-out pressure, and it's 3rd and 3 or 4. The good thing is when you are in 3rd and 3 or 4, whether it's the all-out pressure or that bluff blitz, if you have the ball out of your hands and your slot sees it the same way, you can go get that first down conversion. 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, it ain't happening because you got to get the ball out. They have an extra rusher, and you're not going to go consistently get that first down. So win your one-on-ones tonight if you're Cincinnati offensive line, biggest challenge you've had all year. And then 3rd down, got to be in 3rd and 3 and 4. Have a 0 answer and a 0 bluff answer.
Dan's right. The challenge is that offensive line to start with because you need those 3 big guys. You need Boyd and Higgins and Chase to be able to eat. Mm-hmm. And they can eat tonight because typically in the National Football League, there's 3 receivers that are good on the field, but defenses don't have 3 defensive backs that can cover them.
Yeah.
You usually have a 1A as the top corner,
sure.
And it drops off a little bit there, then it drops significantly at the nickel position. So if you think, okay, we can just line up and play man-to-man and depend on our front to get there, and they don't get there, you're going to get cooked.
See, here's where I am at this game because – naturally, my thought is there's no way Miami decides to pressure them and play man coverage.
Okay.
But I've seen one of the great defensive minds in all of football, Wink Martindale, do that very thing to Patrick
Mahomes.
They
don't change.
Right. When we all thought there's no way that they're going to blitz Patrick, everyone was like, here it comes, and Patrick throws for 500 yards. So that's why.
You know, Dan, as an ex-quarterback, defensive coordinators don't change.
Right.
They keep their same
principles
in place. And that's
a good thing at times, right? We are what we are. We're going to do what we do.
Hey, quickly, but we're going to get to our game picks in just a moment here. But I think it's easy for us to always say, hey, all these sacks, offensive line stinks. Quarterback bears some responsibility
no
as well.
Doubt.
So far through 3 games, how much more decisive does Joe Burrow need to be? Because it does feel like on occasion some of these sacks might be attributable to him and not just poor offensive line.
He was much better in weeks 2 to 3 than he was in week 1. Yeah. Naturally, because he didn't practice all preseason. Yeah. You saw the ball get out just a little bit more or quickly on week 2 and then week 3. That's a big key tonight. Because what did I just say about 3rd down? If you take a sack on 2nd and 2, Joe, you punt.
And
you're
when you're playing against a team that runs man and you're a quarterback, the ball comes out faster.
Because you're picking
zone.
A guy. I'm
yeah.
a guy better
yeah,
than
yeah, boom,
guy.
He's going to win.
What do you got, Swagoo?
But it's also the adjustment, right? Like, it's funny what Dan and Key just said. We had the same conversation about Patrick Mahomes when he had to make an adjustment, showing the league that he was dynamic and could be prolific downfield.
Yep.
Josh Allen was playing with a too high defense, keeping everything in front of you. So I like that you brought that up, Babyface, because I thought in the Dallas game, as much pressure as Dallas was generating, there was times where Joe Burrow wanted to be old Joe Burrow and find Chase or T. Higgins down the
no
field.
Doubt.
Sometimes it's just got to be get rid of the ball, take 3 to 5 yards, and move forward on the next play.
Live to see another down. It's a good mentality for quarterbacks on occasion. Time now for our game picks, and ESPN's Football Power Index heavily favors the Bengals tonight, giving them a 72% chance to win.
Wow.
The question, Mina, is should they be so confident? These pictures are
heavily.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it's pretty close. I'm riding with Miami. Picked Miami last week. Going to stick with them. Largely because of what we just talked about, the Bengals' offensive struggles. I think Miami's defense is better than New York, and I think they're the reason why they win.
Swagoo, what do you got?
I'm taking Miami, too, because I think Miami will be more explosive offensively than Cincinnati will be tonight.
I'm going to take Cincinnati at home. Tua hasn't practiced all week. I think their defense hasn't given up a touchdown in 20 series. I think their defense is better as well.
I'm taking the Natty. They got the top 3 receivers in the National Football League. Nothing else to talk about.
All right, I get to break the tie here, 2-2. Give me the Dolphins scoring a 4.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Keyshawn thinks it's going to be a beatdown.
I know. Keyshawn's like 35-7. You don't think it's close either, huh?
Excuse me?
You don't think it's going to be close
either?
35-17?
I mean, it's going to be one of them cheap touchdowns in the end.
Okay.
You know,
I will say
that. Tyreek Hill and Waddle on this team.
Ball pops in the air.
Those white helmets for the Bengals do look mighty fine. That should be a great game tonight. And the Live is back tomorrow to get you ready for all things